Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Jaina. Hope everything is well. We got the first day of the week again. What a wonderful time it has been. The weeks are going by as quickly as crazy. It's absolutely crazy. If anyone can hear me, please push one. I need to know you can hear me. Anybody out there that can push one? Oh, thank you, Brother Donnie. I see you. Thank you, 757. All right, we're going to open up the mics in a little bit. I think class went by very well yesterday. Everybody enjoyed the teaching. Everybody enjoyed the listening and the understanding. It has truly been a blessing. Oh, bless his name. Look at what's going on. It's been a beautiful thing. Everything is happening wonderfully. All praises be to the Most High Yah. We have done what we have done. I think we have made it to the next level. All right, so let me see what we're going to do. I know we have a lot to talk about and not a whole lot of anything, but at least we can start the conversation off. So what do you think about Ghislaine Maxwell and all the stuff that's going on with her? This is really something, you know, to see the powers that be in the news. It's a shame, the things that are coming out, and some of these powerful people are involved in it. They were talking about how bad her prison, the place where they have her in prison at, is really, really bad, and it ain't the best place in the world to be, and that they don't know how she going to make it. You know, they said this is one of the worst prisons in New York City. One of the worst places in New York City. It is really something. You know, and then the judge ordered the release of the tapes. They want to know what's on the tapes. And everybody running scared. I mean, this is some serious stuff right here. I wonder if it's going to truly come out. I want to play something for you because I think it's just hilarious. Let me see if I can get this thing to play. Hold on just a minute. I want to make sure. Yeah, we can get. Yes, so I'm trying to.
She said, it's got a duty to take him down. And to do that, she's written a brutal, terrible memoir.
Hold on, I don't want this. I don't want to talk about Donald Trump at all. I don't even really want to get into that. Okay, here we go. Hold on just a minute. Trying to get this on.
The United States president is often referred to as the most powerful man in the world. But Donald Trump's niece, Mary Trump, who is the current POTUS, is actually the most dangerous man in the world.
Hold on.
She's so troubled by Trump's abuse of his position.
Hold on, let's go back. I want you to listen to this. Hold on.
After that major ruling in the Ghislaine Maxwell case, the judge ordering the release of what could be thousands of pages of documents from a civil case against her, and those could include names of high-profile people who socialized with Jeffrey Epstein. Janae Norman joins us now with more on this. Good morning, Janae. Hey, Cecilia, good morning. That civil case was settled back in 2017, but a judge ruling just yesterday that the public is legally entitled to access dozens of previously sealed records from the case. Some of those documents are said to contain the names of hundreds of people who spent time socializing, traveling, or working with Jeffrey Epstein over the course of more than a decade. This morning, as Ghislaine Maxwell wakes up behind bars in a Brooklyn detention center, associates of Jeffrey Epstein may be on edge following a bombshell court ruling. A judge deciding Thursday that dozens of documents at the center of a 2015 case involving Maxwell and Virginia Roberts Gouffre should be unsealed, including transcripts from at least one of Maxwell's depositions in the case, which her attorney says contains, quote, extremely personal and confidential material. Gouffre alleges she was abused as a teenager by Maxwell and Epstein and directed to sleep with Prince Andrew, allegations he denies. Gouffre telling BBC Panorama,
I knew I had to keep him happy because that's what Jeffrey and Ghislaine would have expected from me.
The sealed records are said to contain names of hundreds of associates of Epstein over the span of more than 10 years. Some of Epstein's famous associates include former President Bill Clinton, British Royal Prince Andrew, and President Donald Trump.
who had an eyebrow-raising response when asked about Ghislaine Maxwell this week.
I don't know. I haven't really been following it too much. I just wish her well, frankly. I've met her numerous times over the years, especially since I lived in Palm Beach, and I guess they lived in Palm Beach, but I wish her well.
This coming on the heels of another major revelation. According to federal prosecutors, Ghislaine Maxwell is married, but she's declined to provide the court with the identity of her spouse. Maxwell is currently held on charges related to facilitating Epstein's sex crimes.
Maxwell played a critical role in helping Epstein to identify, befriend, and groom minor victims for abuse. In some cases, Maxwell participated in the abuse herself.
And more than a year after convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein died by suicide in a Manhattan jail, his mansions in both Palm Beach and New York City hitting the market for a combined $110 million. The real estate postings giving a new look inside the expansive properties, but leaving out one detail, that Epstein was the previous owner.
And Maxwell's lawyers plan to file an emergency appeal to keep those documents from being unsealed. If they fail, we could see them come out as early as next week. Maxwell has pleaded not guilty to all the criminal charges against her. Cecilia.
Okay, Janae, thanks so much. Let's bring in Dan Abrams now. Dan, good morning to you. So let's break this down. We're talking about unsealed documents. What do you think might be in them? And anybody who might be mentioned in them, how nervous should they be?
Well, look, the people who are mentioned in the documents ought to be nervous, but not because they're going to be released next week. What the court is basically doing here is saying, yes, I am ruling if this is going to be released if there is no appellate decision that overrules me. But any of the names in there are going to be informed that this is going to be made public, and they'll have an opportunity to challenge that. So at least for now, anyone who's in there, and there are over 100 names that are referred to as John Doe's, will get an opportunity to make an argument about why their names shouldn't be made public. So far, there have only been two people notified. Apparently, neither of them have objected, so their names would probably be released. The person who's got to be most concerned here is Ghislaine Maxwell herself. This is going to be numerous depositions that she did in the context of this civil case, and it will involve some very personal stuff about her, including about her sex life. You may even see in there elements of who she may have had sex with, but without naming that person, which would still stay redacted until the person that had an opportunity to respond.
And her team said that they didn't want this release to happen because it would make her her ability to get a fair trial, it would infringe on that. Is that true?
Yeah, well, look, that's always an argument that defense attorneys make, that any information that would be harmful to my client makes it really hard for me to get a fair trial. It's also not typically a winning argument. There are always ways when you're looking for jurors to find people who haven't been following cases like this that closely, particularly when you're talking about, oh, the details of what was released and what it said. People have a lot of other things to do in their lives. And in case after case I've seen in jury selection, they're able to find people who have not followed these cases so closely. And most importantly, the legal standard is that they haven't developed an opinion about guilt or innocence.
Dan Abrams, good to see you this morning, my friend. Thank you.
All right, let's see what you guys got to say. Now, some people think that Jeffrey Epstein committed suicide. I don't. I really don't think he did. Let me open up Brother Donia's mic. Brother Donia, what you think about all that? I mean, because they were talking about how bad the prison system is that she in, and she should really be scared for her life. What do you think,
hello?
Brother Adonia?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Hello? Yeah, well, I think that they're trying to get her to confess to her to let everybody know about all of those people that was involved. You understand? And there's a bunch of them, too, man, including Clinton and, what's his name, the president.
Prince Andrew.
Yeah, Prince Andrews. A whole lot of folks is involved here, boy. You know, but this goes to show you how these people are the coolest people on the face of the earth, and they don't care about their own folk. They don't care about their own folk, man. And as far as her being in that jail, you understand, they're trying to make sure that she's going to do what she needs to do, you understand, confess to some of them crimes and let everybody know, you understand, let them know who was involved there, you understand what I'm saying? You know, and now she can get a plea bargain here, you understand? She'd probably go for the plea bargain, you understand? But that's not going to stop her from being convicted on a whole lot of stuff, man. I'm telling you. Yeah, it's a real deep story, I'm telling you.
Yeah, she kind of in the pickle right now, you know, because of the powerful people. No, what gets me is that these people have been involved in this kind of behavior with impunity. Nobody has said or done anything to them, and now all of a sudden they're shining the light on it, and it's like, why now, all of a sudden?
Right, absolutely. You understand? Well, you know, it was not going to be revealed until that guy, you know, until they had arrested, what's his name? You know, Epstein. You understand what I'm saying? But it's a mess. I'm going to tell you that right now, boy. You understand? This ought to let them know, man, that all of those stuff and little slimy things that they've been doing throughout this 400 years, you understand? They need to be careful because all of this stuff is coming out now. You understand? You know, that little slimy stuff that you got away with is being revealed.
I wonder why. You know what I'm saying? And now, you know, they took him out like they did, you know, because they said Queen Elizabeth told him Prince Andrews has already answered the questions he's going to answer, and he's not going to be answering any more questions. I'm like,
You know, these guys, they're gonna hide behind them being who they are. You understand? You know, part of the royal family. Oh, they ain't gonna get convicted on nothing. You understand? You know?
Right about that.
I mean, it would surprise me. You understand? If they indict them guys, but as far as Prince Henry or whoever it is, you understand? You know,
Prince Andrew.
That's the husband of what's name, man? The Queen.
No, that's the Queen's son.
Queen's son. Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was Fergie's husband. Back in the day, you know, it's like they're not coming over here to do nothing, you know, and it's like, you can't even mess with them. But
that
I just thought it was strange.
Yeah, all of them gonna get messed up. I'm watching it unfold here, man. You know, it's a soap opera.
Yes, sir, for sure, no doubt about that. Yes, so I just wanted to share that with you guys, and I wanted to know. Let me ask the question. How did you think the class went yesterday? I want some feedback because I sent her a notice and told her how much we really enjoyed that class yesterday. And, what is it that you learned from it yesterday?
Well, it was very, very knowledgeable. You understand? I got a lot of understanding out of it. You know, but there's one question I wanted to ask was what is the relationship between DNA and the mitochondrial? You understand? You know, the E1B1 and all of that. How does that relate there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand.
Yeah,
I can't answer it, so I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll get the answer down the road. It's not so important. Now, you know, when they talk about E1, we know that E1B1A is Shem. It's Ham. It's not Ham. Ham is E1B1B. You understand? And then Then it goes on to who the European is. He won something, you know, at sea or something like that. You understand? So, mm-hmm. you know, those are little things that I'm trying to, you know, I find out, you know, they always have the information on the internet from time to time. So I get it. You understand?
Mm-hmm. All right, let me open up area code 972. Your mic is open. You're on the air. What do you think about the DNA teaching yesterday?
I really enjoyed it, but I actually wanted to say something about your first topic.
Okay, go for it.
Okay, so I actually was listening to 60 Minutes dealing with this very same topic this morning. And one of the things that, mm-hmm. that struck me was, well, first of all, before I tell you what struck me, if I were her, I'd be afraid. The only thing that she really has here in her life is if she has something that she can say, if this information gets out, if I die, this information will be released. And she can only do that if she has people that she can trust to actually keep that information and divulge it if something happens to her. Mm-hmm. And I don't know the acquaintances. She doesn't seem like someone that anybody would leave information with, so I don't know if she has someone to leave information with. So it seems to me that her life might very well be in jeopardy if, in fact, Jeffrey Epstein had a question there. So that's the first thing. Oh, and the thing that I was really struck by as I was listening to the presentation by 60 Minutes was these women experienced this over a period of time when they were in their teen years, and they were talking about what kind of compensation they should get, and they said, well, they should get at least $1 million. And I thought about, wait a minute now, our people have been in captivity for hundreds of years.
Mm-hmm.
We've been brutal, mm-hmm. raped, sodomized, killed, all kinds of things documented. And then mm-hmm. the good benchmark for establishing what the worth of trauma, how do you start to compensate trauma? How do you start to place some kind of value on something that cannot be undone? They say this is generational trauma that gets passed down not only orally but actually through a physical change within the chemistry of individuals, so that they say that one of the things that I was listening to someone who was talking about an experiment that had been done with rats, and they had mm-hmm. exposed them to a certain scent, and that rats, every time they got that scent, they were getting a shock treatment, so they learned to become aversive to that scent. Every time they smelled it, they would try to get away. They didn't even want any to do with it, even though it might have been associated with food. They said the shock was just such that they tried their best to avoid it. But what they found was that not only did they display that tendency, but the mice that they had who were not exposed to that scent also were aversive to the scent, which means that genetic characteristic was passed down generationally. They took other mice that had not been exposed to that, and they took their descendants, put them in, they had no problem with the scent. So it seems like trauma can be passed down generationally if you're just using them as a possible indicator of how people would react. So going back to this Epstein and woman, they're saying that the trauma that these women have experienced over a period of years, maybe 10 years, I don't even know if it was that long. And we know that when we talk about the people who had the Holocaust, we've had our own Holocaust, theirs lasted for 11 mm-hmm. hours, years. Ours has lasted for hundreds of years. So when yeah. we start to really mm-hmm. talk about what it is that we should be looking at as a people in terms of being made right, I think that these are good indicators. That's all I have to say on mm-hmm. that.
You know, our trauma, you understand, affected every aspect of our lives. You understand? Every aspect. We don't have the, you know, generational wealth. You understand? We don't have access to medical facilities as needed. You understand? It's affected every part of our lives. But you know what? Mitch McConnell is holding it back. You understand? He said they don't feel responsible for something that happened 100 to 200 years ago. They wasn't there. You understand? I want to say that they benefited. Mitch McConnell is the head man in the Senate there. You understand? And he would not be in that position, maybe. You understand? If it was all, if it was a fair system, you understand? We, you know, we might have a black man in that position or whatever. But we know, we know, what we know here is that this stuff had to happen. You understand? This was a punishment meted out by the Almighty Yah, and it had to happen like this, man. But Mitch McConnell is a dog. I'm talking about. He's a, you know. And he said that he is the Green Reaper, the Green Reaper. You understand? You know, he blocks everything. You understand? The what do they call it? The stimulus package. He said, man, he's gonna wait another 2 weeks. People got to pay their rent. You understand? They depended on pay their rent. Other little things, eating, a whole lot of stuff is going on. But he's gonna wait for another 2 weeks. Boy, this guy's they got to pay, man. And you all say, y'all ever looked at him? He's an ugly cuss, boy.
Oh, brother, Tonya, you call the man ugly. That is terrible.
But that's true.
McConnell.
Mitch
I'm
McConnell.
Looking right now. Yeah, something that I thought was, that I had heard, and I'm looking at it right now. Senator Mitch McConnell's great-great-grandfathers owned 14 slaves, bringing reparations issues close to home. So
okay. He
comes from a slave-holding family, and one of the things that we know is that these people actually filed for compensation when they lost the use of their slaves, lost, quote-unquote, the use of their slaves. And so they have received reparations because there was a value placed on the labor of the people that they no longer had control of, and so they were compensated for that. We have not been compensated for that labor. We were actually turned into a commodity.
That is correct, man.
That really gets
under my skin when they talk about they was compensated because they took the slaves away, so they had to put a money value on the slave so that they can give it to the slave owner. What kind of sense is that, man? You understand? And they, I'm totally upset with them folks, man. You understand?
What do they say? Consider the source. So what's good for the gander is they're saying is not good for the person whose goose has been cooked.
Okay. You understand? These people is a mess, man.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I mean, you know, I don't want to say hatred, but to watch the distaste that you can see on their faces when you even bring up reparations. They're like, no, they don't deserve any reparations. What do you say? We've already given them housing, and we've given them this, and we've done enough. I think we've done. How can you do enough? You know, but again, you know, we are a people that, I don't even have a word to describe us as a people. We just, you know, we just go along with the flow. Whatever happens, we go along with it. Now, we have managed to be a major buyer in the economy that we're dealing with, because we spend a whole lot of money, but it just, I mean, you know, it's just hard to deal with people who really don't care. They could care less. I mean, as long as somebody else bring it up, they on the bandwagon. But if they don't get it, they don't care.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Hold on. Eric Cole, 720, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Hi. I was just thinking that as far as the DNA presentation yesterday, I really enjoyed it. I think she did an excellent job. One of the things that came to mind for me was I wonder how our DNA through the years have been affected by immunization shots that we've gotten as children. A while back, I was just looking at the ingredients in the immunization shots, and aluminum, I think, is one of them, as well as I hear now they're putting stem cells from babies. So I'm kind of wondering how that's been affecting the DNA of human beings and minorities through the years. So that's what I wanted to ask.
Oh, that's a really good question. I mean, you know, there's no way for us to really, really know, you know, how it has affected us, because we didn't know they were doing it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, we,
yeah.
like I said, we just took them at face value and said, oh, this is good for me? Okay, I'll take it. And now people are
right.
starting to research. They're starting to question. They're starting to say, I'm not going to take that. You're not going to stick me with that. I'm not letting you inject me with that. And that's a problem
right.
because they now they say, well, wait a minute, these people aren't really paying us any attention. You know.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
And with,
you know, I don't know.
With,
how
with various... With various metals being injected in the human DNA, I can't help but think that that's going to have some sort of effect if it hasn't already.
Almost definitely. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
But thank God
but,
for y'all that he fixes it where it's not long lasting.
Right.
Know?
That's true.
You know what? There was a woman, a black woman in history, that they used part of her body to make vaccines. You understand? They
yeah.
did that. They did that for a long period of time. You understand? And they never compensated the family for it, neither.
Yeah, that's what she was talking about yesterday. That she had this person had cancer cells, and they were
yeah.
using those cells because those cells are still alive today to create
that is
vaccines
correct.
And different things like that.
That is correct. And they never compensated the family for it, period.
No.
Matter of fact, they didn't even know about it there until somebody had spilled the beans.
Right. But again, you know, like I said, because we're not privy to that information and what they're doing from a medical standpoint, you wouldn't know. If this, nobody had told you, you would never know.
That
right.
is correct.
And Sister
yeah,
Yaina, I thought it was.
Yes, ma'am.
I was going to say, I thought it was interesting what you said about the DNA. I'm kind of really beginning to wonder if the Most High did turn on some part of our DNA to wake
oh,
us
yeah.
up. So yeah, that was very
you
interesting.
You have to. I mean, and even the cold, because it's a cold, and it's regulated by junk DNA, like she said yesterday. The cold has to have something to do with who we are as a people. Because everybody don't have the same DNA.
Nope.
And the people from the other nations don't even have the same DNA that we have.
Yeah,
that is
so,
correct.
Yeah, I could see that. I could definitely see that. And that when the time comes, like I was explaining to Brother Yerushalayim and Sister Rachel last night, this, if we are this intelligent, with working off of 1%. Wonder what we would be like if we had 10%. We just have 1%. 1%. That's a small percentage. One.
Well, that's all that the Most High has allowed them to understand, and it makes me wonder why He's only allowed them to understand just 1%. I think that perhaps he's going to take the other 99% and execute that information for him, or that information for those of us who are awake or for later time when we come into the wilderness or afterwards.
Hallelujah.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You got to have something to do with it. It has to. Because, see, we think that this is a work in progress. We do. We think that this is a work in progress. When the Most High said, I wrote the end from the beginning, I don't have to go back and redo anything. It's already in you for you to have. When I get ready to turn that code on, you will be supernatural. So if I cut the code off and the code lays dormant and it's only working with 1%, you're just basically a human right now, but if I decide to cut the cold all the way up, there's no telling what we're able to be able to do. So he doesn't have to go back and do anything. And I think that that's what we think, that he's doing this as he goes along. No, he wrote it in from the beginning. That's why I tell everybody, the exit strategy has already been knocked out. The person that's going to initiate it has already been knocked out. The people who they need to see, the transportation, the method, everything has already been done. It's just when the time comes, he will initiate that person and say, I need you to go do this. And they're going to go do it, and the door is going to open. So he doesn't have to find us a place to go. And everybody goes, well, where are we going to go? Well, where are you going to put us? Well, it's already mapped out. All you got to do is relax and just let the story play out the way it's going to play out. He doesn't have to change. Like Brother Donnie, I'll say, and I'll never forget it, he has never gone back and said, oops, I need to do that over.
That is correct.
Never.
Never read that in the scripture. I mean, whatever the scriptures say, it has already said it, and it don't go back and rewrite anything. The whole scripture has been laid out before us. All we got to do is follow the instructions.
Yep, and he said he was going to wake up his people, and without any televangelist or church service or anything else, he did.
That is correct.
Oh. And he's going to do it.
Absolutely.
Just like he woke you up. One day something switched on in your DNA, which ignited the fact that you knew that you were different from everybody else. You're like, something is wrong. Something ain't right. I know it did for me. Something just ain't right. This ain't smelling right. This ain't passing the smell test. Something is wrong. And I made every excuse in the world before I got to that point. But when I got to that point, there was no more excuses to be made. Then I went and asked him. I said, please show me what this is. What's wrong with this? Because it ain't something ain't right. And when he did, oh, my goodness. It was like a whole new world opened up. It just opened up like, oh, my goodness. And I'm like, my goodness.
You know what amazes?
This ain't real?
You know what amazes me? Is that our physical anatomy, you understand, is the strongest of all the nations, whether you know it or not, because we've been fed garbage, you understand? They experimented on us, you understand? You know, they did everything under us, and they have not, and still we rise.
And that's just what we know about. It's no telling what we don't know about.
That is correct. That is absolutely correct. Our physical anatomy and DNA and all the things that make up a human being, we have the strongest of all the nations.
Yeah.
They really did a number on us, boy. I'm telling you, man. I'm so it breaks my heart in two. Go ahead, Tom Chi.
What did they say in Egypt? They said we can't. He said when Pharaoh told him to kill the babies, he said the Egyptian women the Hebrew women are stronger than the Egyptian women.
Okay. But
they don't wait on us. Well, sometimes we go on there, the baby's already born.
Yeah, that's correct.
So we can't kill them at birth because them women is stronger.
Absolutely.
So that is actually something that he has written in the children of Israel, in their DNA, that separates us from the rest. Now, I know some people probably twisting up their mouth, especially if they of the other nation, and saying that is not true. You know, and of course they don't say that because they don't. Nobody wants for you to be different from any, or to make yourself feel like you're different from anyone else. And we've always been accused of overly populating ourselves, having too many children and having too many babies in the class, and they still birthing babies today. And girls, they're birthing babies out like it ain't nothing. Like I told my mom, she was like, they need to quit having all them babies. I said, no, they don't. They need to have as many babies as they can have, because that's what the Most High wants us to do, is populate ourselves so that we can become a people again, a strong people. They ain't got to be having, that's the other nations telling you, you ain't supposed to have no more than two kids.
Yeah, that's them. That's because they can't have no more than two kids. But, See, one thing we got to, look, man, we was having 7-8 babies in during the slavery years. seven, eight babies. We was hardly eating.
And guess what? When them kids was used as free labor, they didn't have no stipulation on how many you had.
Nope. Matter of fact, they had a factory going on. They had a factory going on.
Yeah.
You understand? They took the men out of the community and made them make babies of some strange woman or somebody. You understand? So that they could have more people, so they can have the children to help to bring up populate the farm and all that. Man, these people were the coolest people on the face of the earth, man. Ooh-wee.
Yeah. And you know what?
The Almighty going to pay them, man. They got to get paid. There's no way the Almighty going to let... And nobody gets away from this here. You understand? We got paid. Remember now, we went into slavery because of our disobedience. You understand? And these guys right here is going to get away. Not for the life of me. They're not going to get away.
That's true. You know what? I was looking at a YouTube clip. Remember, Brother Donnell, a long time ago when we first started doing this radio show, that they were shipping the so-called Ethiopian Jews over to Jerusalem, and they had this coming back to Jerusalem program and stuff. Well, now they don't want them over there.
That is correct.
Now the Ethiopians is complaining that they're being mistreated, and that they were, at first they were sterilizing the women and giving them sterilization shots, telling them that they were immunization shots, and they was actually sterilizing the women so they couldn't have any children. And now they're over there, and they're being mistreated.
That is correct. They have a compound in the desert. You understand where they got them all locked in that compound. There was a video out maybe 5 years, maybe 4 years ago, where some people went out there and brought them water and food and all of that stuff to them people in the desert. There, you understand? See, one thing that we got to understand that the Almighty loves us, man. You know, and He's gonna spare us alive, keep us alive, man. You understand? You know, because them guys was in the desert, and I know that they was going through hell. You understand? Right there. And see, they when they came and got them out of from Ethiopia, they was in Ethiopia. You understand? The Danite tribe. That's who that tribe was. And they came and got them, you understand? They had an ulterior motive why they came and got them, you understand? Talking about they was doing a humanitarian thing, but that was not true. Because when they got there, you understand, they got to experimenting on them and this and that and the other. And, a lot of mess went down, you understand? And now, you understand, these guys over there, man, they can't find no job. They're not going to school. They being locked down. And man, it's a mess, man. From time to time, you know, those things come out, you understand? And they had they said that if they go into the army, man, then they can get some land and blah blah blah. That never happened. Never happened. They went in there into the army and they never got a damn thing for it. It really upsets me because these guys are so cool, boy.
Yeah, that's the truth. So, I mean, you know, and I always felt like, well, maybe they brought them over there to help build a temple. Maybe that's a part of the tribe of Dan. You know, you never know. But they never say what tribe they from. And that's the part I don't understand. Well, okay, if you're going over there, then what tribe are you from?
Well, when they came and got them, it was the Danite tribe. You understand? You know, the elders stayed back, but the young folks, man, they got tired of having nothing, man. And I can't blame them at all. You understand? They was raggedy and this and that and the other, and they sent three or four planes of and they got about 5,000 to 10,000 people they brought back to Jerusalem. You understand? And they went to teaching them the Kabbalah and the Talmud and all of that stuff, man, and the language, you understand, you know, and it's on the internet, you understand, you know, you have to look it out, seek it out, man. But those were Danites, man, you understand, those people, that's what it says. It's on the internet, it'll take it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, it's just,
yeah,
but you know what's so exciting for me, man, is that this stuff is all gonna be revealed and it's getting ready and it's coming out gradually and slowly, you know, because of the Almighty, you understand, in His pace, not our pace. In His pace, He's making it all available for us and He's gonna bring us up out this mess. He said, "I would never make an end to you." That's what He said.
That's true. That is absolutely true. That is absolutely
all the things
true.
That we've, all the things that we've, if you just sit back and think about what did they do to us, you could never come to an end because they did everything to us, man. You understand? The worst thing that they could have done was that Belgium guy, man, cut off hands. Oh, man. That's horrible for me. That's worse than them killing you. Once they kill you, it's over with. But when they cut your hand off, man, you got to make it from there, just like that. Oh,
yeah. I mean, you know, all of those things are true. You know, but there's a reason. You know, like I said, you just have. I don't know. I mean, you know, we just deal with it when we deal with it. When the most I say that it's time, it's gonna be time. But the more you learn, the more you realize how fascinating He is, how He goes through the situation and He does what He does. I think it's just amazing how everything is already set in place. And no matter how much the enemy does to try to divert the plan keeps going because they don't understand. The Most High is in control, and everything that they try to do, He counters it with something else to make sure that it gets done the way He wants it done.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and it's like, He's not going to change His plan. That's not going to be changed.
Not at all. They're not going to. You know, see, we got to understand who we're dealing with. The Almighty said He's going to bring a people down on us from the north, from the ends of the earth. You understand? And you got to understand that those people are not Hebrew Israelites, nor are they Hamites, or they weren't even Yaphet until Yaphet went and cohabitated with them folks. You understand? So they're not. They were of the adversary seed. They were sent to the earth to pillage and plunder. You understand? And I might be wrong, but through the serpent seed. The serpent come from the adversary, and the serpent seed, and then it was Cain. You understand? You understand? All of that came from the adversary through that line there came from the adversary. You understand? They have no knowledge of knowledge of being fair or what's his name? You hear what Mitch McConnell said that we've given them enough. You understand? And you know, I mean, We gave them a black president. How the hell does he give somebody a black president? So if that's the case, then everything is rigged. If you're talking about you gave somebody something, you understand? You know, somebody just said that his father had slaves. You understand this guy right here and talking about he didn't he can't say that he didn't benefit. Boy, these guys is a mess, boy. You know, I want to see him get paid myself. But it wouldn't matter to me if I didn't. As long as I know that the Almighty's going to pay him, I'm satisfied with that. I relinquish the mic.
I'd like to say something. It's important to me that we get paid because so often we're told that we are not do anything, that we're ungrateful, that we're greedy, that we're just not worthy. That's basically what's being said. And yet, one of the reasons why I try to pay attention to information is because I see what people are doing, and I see how there's a contradiction between what they say and what they've done, how other groups have been treated far less than our group has been treated, and yet they try to act as if somehow we are not due what to do us. So I often read this from people, and I just say, I'm not even going to argue with people. All I want to do is gather my facts. So, and I know the Most High has already promised us, but it just solidifies to me why it is that he says that we're going to get what's due us, because it's only just and right. And so if I were to listen to people, I'd be very discouraged. I might think that, no, I don't deserve that. But I'm thinking, yes, I do. And, yes, my ancestors do. And more so, more information that I get. And so for me, it's not a matter of arguing. It's just a matter of amassing the facts. And there are so many facts out there that really talk about how we were the most valuable commodity in this country. And we were bought and sold. We were more valuable than cotton, more valuable than rice, more valuable than any type of monetary money that they had, more valuable than anything. If we were so valued, then that means that we should have been the beneficiaries of that value. And you cannot tell me that we're worth nothing when I know that this thing is built on the very value that was brought to it by us. And so I try to just not even engage with them. I just read it and say, that's all the more reason why I cannot listen to you. I have to know what it is suffered and what we rendered in terms of value that we've not yet been compensated for. Everyone else is being compensated, and we definitely will be, because if it were dependent on them, no, but it's not. My that he says that we're going to get it. I don't even have to justify it. All I have to do is look at that. He says what he says is sufficient. If I were to look at people, they can make me doubt. Well, no, really, no, we don't deserve that. I don't have to make an excuse to anyone, especially the more information I gather. That somebody can beat you over the head with their facts when you don't know the true facts, and that's what I'm trying to do. So that's how I approach it, and that's why it's important to me, and that's why I know that we very much deserve it and why we will get it.
Not only that, Sister Yunset, go ahead. Come to you.
We're going to get it from the Most High, too, because, you know, he's going to make, I don't know where it's coming from or how. Like I said, he don't have to go and do it over again. It's already done. However, the part that gets me is that we have so many people from the other nations that have interjected themselves into the promise. And it's like, no, this part don't have nothing to do with you. You got to step back. Because we're going to be compensated for what we did, whether it's through you or whoever y'all chooses, you won't be a part of this. And they get so upset because they can't be a part of this, you know. And it's like, no, he said, I'm going to bless you. All you got to do is just hold on, and the curse is over. So I'm going to bless you. All you got to do is wait. And and that's the hard part, I think, for us is the waiting, because you still see the other nations on top. You know, you still see, you know, them living a life, and they're like, I'm going to say, y'all got y'all. I hate to put it like that, but I mean, I know that's broken English, but y'all got y'all. You got you got the houses, the cars, the money, the credit card. You can buy whatever you want, your kids. So don't get mad when we get our turn, because he's going to make sure we get a turn. And he's going to make sure you see it. He's going to make sure the Gentiles and all the other nations know that you are my beloved. You're going to get to see it. That's what I'm arguing with nobody. I'm not going to sit up and argue with you about who we are and try to prove to you who we are. You're going to see that in a minute.
We got to wait till we got to watch this all play out, man. You understand? You know what? We've been more faithful. We don't even get consideration because we've been faithful. More so than any other nation. You understand? You know, I mean, and we was getting, and they were starving us to death. They had 100 years of lynching. Ain't that something? 100 years of lynching. You understand? These people is a cool. And yet, we was faithful. You understand?
Yeah.
You know, and one other thing here, too, is it gives the Jews $3 to $5 billion every year in goods and services. And they weren't, and the United States didn't, wasn't no Holocaust of Jews in the United States. They gave the Chinese or the Japanese, one of them, they paid them because they grabbed them up and put them in camp. They did, you know, they, it wasn't a whole lot of money. It was a lot of money, but they paid them. Here, we've been here since the inception of this place, treated like dogs, treated like animals. You understand? And this guy had the audacity, Mitch McConnell, say that we gave them enough. Come on, man. Ooh, we. Boy, that guy got to get paid. Woo!
Well, there's an inherent hatred for God's people, or the Most High's people, and I think that as far as us trying to find some sort of integrity in what they say, we've just got to know that the Most High is going to give to us our just reward, and
absolutely,
they will also get their reward for what they've done. So we've got to just put it in His hands. The most important thing to me is I heard someone on YouTube say this, and I've just adopted it, is my Elohim has returned to me. And that's what is so important.
Yeah.
Our Elohim has returned to us.
And
okay.
we couldn't say that before the curse was over. But He has now returned to us, and He hears us.
Absolutely.
Now. He hears our call and our cry.
Yeah,
so
preach,
when
Hallelujah.
We cry out to Him, He hears us. So we don't have to worry about these people and their reasoning and what they say and what they don't say.
Mm-hmm.
Our Elohim has returned to His people.
Yes,
absolutely. Hallelujah.
You know, I was just getting ready to read that in Jeremiah chapter 29. It's Jeremiah 29:11. He says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Most High, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then ye shall call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall
Hallelujah.
Seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart, and I will
Hallelujah.
Be found of you, saith the Most High." He said, "And I will turn away your captivity and gather you from all the nations from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Most High." He said, "And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive."
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory. Hallelujah. He said, "All you got to do is call on me. I can answer now. I'm ready to answer. I'm turning around, and what a blessing it is."
Yes,
he
is.
Said, "Call on him with all your heart and all your soul and every fiber of my back being." You understand? And He will answer us. You understand? So there's no doubt in my mind that He left all record a way for us to get out of this mess, or at least for us to feel comfortable, you understand, until the Almighty come and get us. You understand? He left that in there, man. We got to pray and ask Almighty to forgive us for our sins. You understand? Turn from our wicked ways. Don't get involved with that nonsense and that stupidity.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't argue with nobody. I don't go through no unnecessary changes. And you know what makes the other people, let me say this when I say the people of the other nation. I'm talking about those who have pushed their narrative. We have followed along with their narrative for years after years, and now we're on a whole other path, waiting on the Elohim to save us and to deliver us from these places. One, they don't want us to go nowhere. I'm going to be honest with you. They do not want it. You got a few that are of those left-wing and right-wing organizations that say, "Yeah, how soon can y'all leave?" But the majority of the people do not want us to go anywhere. Because they know
man, we're
that
money
this is going to be a totally different ball game.
Yeah,
you know,
we keep the economy going. You understand? We leave here, just then the economy going to fall. You understand? And we can see that right now. You understand? Is that they trying to boost the economy by giving people money. You understand what I'm saying? And we... as a people, we'll spend that money just to keep the economy going. This is like a Christmas gift. You understand that little bit of money. So we got, you know, we take it and use it. That's what I use it at. I use it, you understand, because I bought some things, you understand, that was on my list that I would probably never get to.
I understand.
So I went and gone and got that, man, and I'm waiting for the next stimulus to change. But we spend the money. We put the money back in play. You understand what I'm saying? So if they kick us out, or we leave here, the economy is going to fall. It's already falling.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when you understand, and you know why they don't want us to go anywhere? Because they want to make sure that we don't get any more than they get.
That is correct.
They want to control exactly how much we get and make sure that we don't get as much as they get or any more than they have.
That is correct.
Nah, we want to see what you're getting because we want to make sure you don't get no extra. But see, one thing about that is they didn't have anything to do with us coming. That was the Most High. And they're not going to have nothing to do with us either. That's the Most High too. You know, so they come on these shows and they listen and they get mad. But the reality of it is we have read verse after verse, scripture after scripture, to let you know that he's coming to get his people. And nobody's going to be able to stop it. Nobody. You know, so it's a catch-22 because everybody's listening and watching because they want to make sure that we don't get anything extra. That's why they're so upset about, oh, no, they don't get no reparation. Oh, no, we've been giving them people food stamps, and they didn't have Section 8 and affirmative action. We've done enough for them to be able to, we don't. Oh, no, we can't get nothing extra. No, they don't deserve anything extra. But that ain't what the Most High said. He didn't.
Right,
I don't know where we're going to get it from. And I don't know who he's going to do to, who he's going to use to give it to us. But if he said great wealth, it's going to be great wealth.
That's right. Which is why I think that they don't want us to know who we are, because in the history books, they can gradually erase the history of slavery. Mm-hmm. They can actually act as if the African-Americans or blacks or whatever they want to call us, they can pretend that we were immigrants. And in a couple of generations, our people are going to forget the harsh history that their ancestors endured and how they built this economy. So after a few generations, they're going to pretend that we were all immigrants. But the Most High knows. The Most High knows, and he's going to fix it.
Me too. He don't let nobody, like I said, nobody had anything to do with us coming. Like I told the lady in Washington, D.C., at the appointed time, the Most High put it in the mind of your ancestors to come and get my ancestors to take us into slavery so that we could fulfill that prophecy. That even though you thought, see, that's what people can make a mistake. You think it was you that came up with the idea. You know, I was riding down the street the other day, me and my arrogant self. You know, because I've always been the type of person, I've always had very good jobs, I've always been able to land on my feet, I've always been able to shake something out of a hat, and I was riding down the street glorying in my own self, you know, a legend in your own mind, you know how we go through it, and I'm saying, man, I remember when I used to do this, and I could do that, man, I could turn this around and make this happen, and man, I really had, and you know what, something spoke, this is clear. And I heard the voice say, so you thought that was you. And I couldn't do nothing but laugh because I really, you know, I was having one of glory moments. You know how we are, we a legend in our own mind. You know, we just, it was me. I had a Nebuchadnezzar moment. And it stopped me dead in my tracks, and I couldn't do nothing but laugh. And it said, so you thought that was you, huh? And see, that's how we have to inform the other nations. You didn't come up with that by yourself. You didn't just decide one day we're going to go get the Negroes over in Negro land down in Ghana and they're going to be our slaves. The Most High put that in your heart so that you can fulfill the prophecy. And now the prophecy has been fulfilled.
You know what that is? That's the footsteps in the sand. You ever heard that?
Right, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, somebody was carrying you through this. It wasn't you. You didn't come up with them ideas by yourself. I opened the doors so you could walk through those doors. I made it possible for things to happen so you could have that story to tell. You didn't do this on your own. It was me all along. I just made it seem like it was you. It was one of the moments where I had to repent. I was like, you know, I'm so sorry. I was going there, you know, because you know how we do it. And it's like, y'all, please forgive me. And I had that moment, that Nebuchadnezzar moment, you know, and now I know better. And that's what they have to understand. All of this is driven by prophecy. It's not us.
You know what I asked the Almighty, Sister Yaina? I asked the Almighty not to condemn me for my thoughts. Because I, just like you was into the thing about you understand? We got to be, I understand that because my thoughts go there too, all the time. But I ask the Almighty, please don't condemn me for my thoughts. You understand?
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. You know, I call it the Nebuchadnezzar moment because we all have them. You know, we all really think we was doing something and it was because of how wonderful we are and how intelligent we were. And because we went to college and got a degree and, you know, the doors opened. And no, the Most High was there to bless you through the whole walk. Because if he hadn't opened the doors, you wouldn't have been able to do none of it. Because believe me, let me tell you something. I've been on the other end where he shut the doors and wasn't no doors open. And I really didn't understand that. I was so perplexed, like, well, wait a minute. I've never been here before where I couldn't do nothing. He shut the doors and let me know, no, it's me. This is all me.
That
is correct.
Next
time you step out there, you'll know that it's me doing this, and it ain't you.
That's
what they have to understand. All this was driven by prophecy. You know, we're not arrogant. We don't think we're better than nobody else because, believe me, nobody wants to go through 400 years of slavery and mistreatment the way we did.
Nobody. You're right.
Not,
you're absolutely correct.
Not even people who are pretending to be us. They don't want to go through that. Nobody wants to go through that.
No, that's right. Chained, whipped, beaten, maimed, and murdered. These guys was cool.
Right.
Well.
They want the glory, and they want to be able to tell the story, but they don't want to go through the pain. No, nobody wants to go through the pain.
Yeah. They want to tell the story from their perspective.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you hear the story that the Edomite tell. You understand that about the Holocaust? It was 6 million Jews and blah blah blah. You understand? They only give up a summary of what really went down with black folks. Nobody, none of them people could, they wouldn't be here. You understand? You know, and a lot of those nations that was in ancient times is not here anymore. Chaldeans, for one.
Yeah, absolutely. So when nobody want to be punished by y'all like that. Trust me when I tell you, you don't. You better trust me when I tell you, no nation wants to be punished by him like that.
You know, even though during the Holocaust, they got these. Go ahead, sister. I'm sorry.
I said, and I know you being punished. Half of us didn't even know what the punishment was. How many times do we wake up and say, why do they hate us so much?
Okay.
How many times have we said that? How come they just hate us so much and didn't understand why? And then when he opened up your eyes, it became blatantly apparent.
That is correct.
Wow.
That is absolutely correct.
You know, even those
what's names when they the Holocaust, they have certain movies that come out every now and then. You understand? Or how they were treated? You understand during the Holocaust, but they were not treated nowhere near close to how they treated us. They didn't. Didn't do it. You understand what I'm saying? You know, they may have been annihilated or put in those gas houses or whatever they call it.
Yeah,
they may have been done that. So, at 6 million. And matter of fact, the story is about the 6 million is not is they can That was convoluted, man. They you know, because somebody told me that was only 600,000. Wasn't no 6 million, 600,000. They added another zero.
It was a terrible thing. It was a terrible thing. But guess what? Like you said, name. How you say name beaten? What'd you say, Brother Donia?
Yeah, chained, whipped, maimed, and beaten. The chain whipped, maimed, and murdered.
And don't forget
for
the race.
For 400 years. For 400 years. For 400 years.
That is correct.
No nation on this earth can say that they've been mistreated for 400 years. That's a long time. To be displaced from their land for 400 years. There's no comparison to that. We've lost our language. We've lost our culture. We've displaced our families. We've lost our laws, our statutes and commandments, and we were separated from our Elohim for 400 years. That's a long time. So nobody can make that claim. Not one nation on this earth can make that claim.
And Mitch McConnell talking about he gave us, we gave them enough. Oh, left hook.
Please.
Left hook and a streak right here.
That's 400 years of mistreatment. Yes, we got affirmative action, and you complained about that. If you ain't qualified, you don't deserve to be here. You complained about that. Yes, you gave us food stamps, and you complained about that. They shouldn't be sitting around all these years on welfare doing nothing. They need a job just like we did. Well, guess what? You sat around for 4 years, hundreds of years, with free labor. Ain't picked a piece of cotton. Some rice.
Yep.
They shouldn't be getting this extra stuff because we've given them. What did you give us? I want to know what it was because my grandmother never got the 40 acres and a mule. They never got it.
They never gave it up.
There's no comparison. You can't pay us enough money. You can't give us enough. There's no comparison to the lives that were lost. There's no comparison to the people that were burned alive. There's no comparison to the people that was hung on trees. And we know all of this was, that's what, again, that thought didn't just come into your mind. That was the Most High allowing you to do that to us. And we do understand that, but now it's time for us to go home. It's time for us to go home. Because nobody's been locked up like this for 400 years. We don't even know our own language.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know our names.
No, we don't know our name.
We just found out who our God is.
Yeah, hello? Hello? So, you know, when you start dealing with reparations, there's no amount of money on the earth that you can come up with that can pay back the things that we've gone through, but it's not for you to pay us back. Because the Most High said we was going to leave with great substance. I don't know where it's going to come from. I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know what he's going to do it. But I do know one thing, that his word is not going to come back void. It's not
going to
come back void. Not. Now, I'm watching and waiting to see, because you got some haters out there that want to come and do us harm because we're talking like this. What makes you think y'all so special that you're supposed to get something? The Most High said so. That's it. That's all we got. We don't have nothing else. Because if we had to depend on you all to do it, we would all been gone.
See, they need
all
to read the
been
book.
Gone by now.
If they read the book, it'll tell you who the Almighty is favors in that book. It'll tell you. Now, you can say, it's a European, or it's a Gentile, or it's a Esau. But if you read that book, it'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can make it out to be who you want it to be. But the story is not about you. I'm going to tell you that right now. And you can go along with that lie and all that like you've been lying.
What did you say, lying like you've been lying? Woo, it's a lot.
And Sister Yaina, the things that you mentioned about the welfare and the affirmative action, first of all the other groups could partake in those as well. And at one point I had heard that white women benefited more from the affirmative action than black kids. So they can't really say they gave us any of those things because the other groups were allowed to participate and gain the benefits from those programs as well. So they really haven't given us anything. But we do know what they got from us, which is free labor and all the things that you had just mentioned. So we know that a just a reward is due, and we look forward to our LM. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I got a question. You know, every 4 years they tell us, man, this is we need everybody to vote this time, man. This is going to mean something great, something fantastic. Blah, blah, blah. And so from the first time that they said that to this time right here, did they give us anything? And if they gave us something, was it lasting? Or did it last one or 2 years? Or, you understand? Mm-hmm. What did we get out of it that we could see right now today?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Maybe a tax break here or there. They may have given us a tax break here or there and gave us a earned income credit on the tax return. But what is that? I mean, there's no comparison to what the Most High is going to do for his people. You know, and the problem is that people don't want to accept the fact that we are the people because they're afraid that we are going to get something that they're not going to be privy to. That's just it in a nutshell. You know, they don't want you to have anything more than what they have. If you get it, we get it. And that's just not how he operates. Because, like my mom said, they have enjoyed white privilege for a long time. And I told her, you would, too, if you was white. You'd enjoy it, too. She said, yeah, I probably would. So you've gotten it already. You've gotten the opportunity to be on top. Don't have no problem with that. We know that's how it's done. And now that it's time to move to the next level, guess what? We're not in the position to challenge. We're leaving. When he say so.
Hallelujah. I can't wait.
We're leaving
myself.
When he say so.
I want to see
when
this stuff
so.
Unfold.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking it up. I'm looking to see this stuff. I'm watching it unfold, though. Sister Yaina, we this stuff is unfolding right before our eyes. You understand? The things that's going on right now, man, this is not going to bounce back. No way on God's green earth is this stuff going to bounce back at all.
Nope. Not at all. Hold on a minute. Let me open up this mic. Area code 919, your mic is open. You're on the air.
I was also going to say they've also benefited so many years off of being employed in these agencies to support the social programming that keeps us not advancing. They've also benefited from research, studying us all these years and, looking at the deficiencies of, black children, black families. And so they've gotten millions and millions of dollars studying us but not necessarily helping us. And I've been on panels where it's interesting with the Hispanic population growing, they've wanted to, many of these research groups have wanted to do the same thing. And they said, we don't want you to study us like you did the blacks. We want you to help us.
Absolutely. And that's exactly, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And what else? I mean, we have been the guinea pig. Like you said, we have been the study, we've been the litmus test, we've been all of them. Because
Absolutely.
They just can't understand how we could survive through the things that we have survived through and we have.
Absolutely. That's exactly
and
what I said.
Now it's time for it to be over with. And everybody running scared now like, oh, shoot, what's getting ready to happen? Because we've been listening to them for years and everything they said is coming to pass.
Absolutely.
What's going on? We ain't got what
and the most,
they said it was going to be a shortage is a shortage. They said the food was going that's happening. They're checking off the list, and they're happy too. And I really do believe that we are the people that they listen to watch prophecy. I really do. Go ahead, Cindy.
No. I'm sure that some people do. I'm sure that they do. I'm sure that some people, they have to have something that to look at, to gauge by. And we've been out there for a number of years, man, telling the truth. You understand? And they can't never say that what we say is a lie. But they can't.
They're not sure.
They can't counteract it. Huh?
Sure, okay. You're right. I think Eric Code 919 was saying something. What were you saying?
I was finished.
Oh, okay. But, yeah, I mean, you know, it's just one of the situations where we have to be honest with ourselves. We have to be honest with ourselves, and we have to be honest with ourselves. You know, it just doesn't apply to us, the things that they are putting in motion. It's not for us. Like Trump said, y'all ain't got nothing else to lose. You might as well vote for me. It's like, dang. I mean, for real. He said, you ain't got nothing else to lose. You might as well vote for me. In other words, you ain't got nothing, no way. Ain't nobody never gave you nothing for real, no way. So you might as well give me a turn.
Yeah.
He said that out of his own mouth. He said, y'all ain't got nothing else to lose. What you got to lose? Your situation, your situation ain't going to change. So you might as well give me a chance. What can you say to that? I mean, you know, but that's the situation that we're in. We have always been kept on the bottom. They expect us to stay on the bottom. And thank God we have another strategy, because now the church is upset, because guess what? We're not listening to that stuff no more. All that old Huckam and Shonda and organ playing and all that, you keep all that.
Absolutely.
And all that blessing, and you're going to be blessing and keep all that. Because we know where our blessing lies in our Elohim. So they upset too, because ain't nobody rallying around the rapture, and ain't nobody believing all that stuff that one for all and all for one. It don't work that way. And I know what the scripture says, but there's a punishment that you're going to have to endure first. Just like we have to endure our punishment, you're going to have to endure your punishment first. You're not going to get away with that. You ain't going to get away from that. Trust me, you're not.
You're not going to get away. Nobody gets away. Not
and
in the kingdom.
He did this to his own people. Brother Donia, he did this to his own people.
Absolutely. You understand? Because we didn't listen. We're so hard-headed and stiff-necked, and we want to do things our way. You understand? You want to do things the way we want to do things our way. You understand? Which never amounted to the hill.
Excuse me. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And that's not what he said. Not forget what he said. He said, be not dismayed. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man sows, that will he also reap.
That's what he said.
And his words do not return void. That we know for sure.
They don't come back void. They sure don't. So, you know, because some people just, they took it because they could. You know how you were in a situation and you said, well, why did you do that to them? Because I could. Because there wasn't nobody there to spare, wasn't nobody there to save them, and wasn't nobody coming to their defense. So we just basically did what we wanted to do to them. And you know what I'm saying? And it wasn't a fair journey. It was an evil journey.
That is
because
correct.
You could. He put us in your hands, and because you could, it went all the way to the left. You took it all the way to the left. Unimaginable things was done.
I'm telling you.
Because you could. I mean, how many women was raped?
Countless.
They said that the women, they said in Ghana, down in the door of no return, they used to keep them down in this hole. And the man who was running, or the warden or whatever who was overseeing this, he would get drunk. These women would be urinating on themselves, feces all over the place. Their menstrual cycle would come on. They had nothing. And he would bring one up out of the hole, hold her down, and then rape her. They said some of those women would get on the slave ship, pregnant.
Yep, that is correct.
From the enemy, and then they would pull some of the women up from the bottom of the ship, hold them down again, and the soldiers or the men on the ship would rape them, and they would stand on the auction block pregnant.
Yep. You think that ain't cool? That's the coolest thing that you could possibly do to somebody, man. And that's total, you know, that's why they call it post-traumatic slave syndrome.
Yeah.
And we
have
also,
they had the men on one side, supposedly, and the women on the other side, and they just did whatever they did on top of each other, over each other. And when they got ready to pull them up out of the bottom of the slave ship, they sprayed them down with water, put something on them, and stood them up on the auction block.
Yep.
How can you pay somebody back for that? What price can you put on that? I just want to know. What price can you put on that?
Mitch McConnell said he said they got everything that they deserve. We got more than we deserve. They gave us a black president. They gave us a black president. I'm so saying, come on, man.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, that guy right there is
and guess
midway,
what? And it's
man.
So sad, Brother Donia. Our people don't even want to talk about slavery no more. They so egotistical and so narcissistic because of the junk they buying and the eyelashes they pasting on and the front lace wigs they putting on and the fake fingernails and all the stuff they and the tattoos. They don't even want to discuss their history because they're so narcissistic and egotistical.
Yeah.
I have a perspective on that. I think that sometimes as people are trying to escape the degradation and the shame that comes along with that because they don't really know what it is. They've internalized the oppression rather than looking at the oppressor. So the oppressor has been held up as being noble, and they're ignoble. And so they think, it's all in me. The shame resides in me. The degradation resides in me. And so what you try to do is you try to get away from it because it really is a hurtful thing. And so all of these things say, that's not me. Look, I'm affluent. Look, I'm successful. Look, I'm this, I'm that. I'm not what it is that you say that I am because I have not recognized you for what you are. So I think that's one of the things. But I actually wanted to add something. Going back to what the sister had said about the possibility of I think she had said something about toxins affecting the genes. I thought about lead exposure. It's an article, and this is an article. Mm-hmm. It's a study out of Wayne State University dated October 2nd, 2015, and it says lead exposure in mothers can affect future generations. Researchers have discovered that mothers with high levels of lead in their blood not only affect the fetal cells of their unborn children, but also their grandchildren, which means that not only does it affect the child that they give birth to, but the child that their child gives birth to. They say now it doesn't look as if it changes the gene structure per se, but they say it's epigenetic. So I had to look up exactly what that meant. And epigenetic means that it's relating to or arising from non-genetic influences on gene expression. And this is what's so lovely about the presentation that was made yesterday because there were a lot of things that I didn't know, but in listening to her, I really learned a lot. And she was talking about genes being turned on and off. And so what it's saying is that environmental factors can actually turn off genes. So if you had the propensity to excel, because we know that lead toxins reside in the body, and I don't know if you can get those heavy metals out of the body, certainly not easily. So if this is affecting not only you, but your child and your child's child, but it's saying that those genes that might have been turned on are being turned off. So this is actually an assault on the population because we know that they often put us next to toxic dumps. It's called environmental racism. And so all of these things are done. So we don't have to talk about what was done back then. We can talk about what's being done now. And also the thing that's really striking is that this is a study that was done in 2015. And they say that most of the people started awakening in 2015. So if I want to talk conspiracy theory, I can talk about people actually trying to do stuff to suppress people's potential through the introduction of toxins into the body, not just lead, but other things that we might not be aware of that actually would turn off genes. And so we're talking about what we think may happen is that the Most High may turn these on, but if there's a concerted effort to turn off genes, that should be on, that should be on, because if you weren't affected by lead, you would have a much greater potential than you display, because it actually affects your cognitive functioning. And so I'm thinking, we don't have to talk about what's happening back then. We can talk about what's happening now. But people just think, well, I'm poor, have the power to do this, and they just think those people, they just let those pipes go to waste. But look, those people took money that could have fixed the pipes and put it elsewhere because they wanted that population to be impacted, and that population was predominantly Israelite. This is not an accident. But so we can look at
it's certainly.
Let's not forget Flint, Michigan. That's what they did in Flint, Michigan. They haven't cleaned it up yet.
Absolutely.
Yeah, with
still
the water,
ongoing.
Look how long the people was being poisoned with that water. Look how long. And then my question is, did they ever fix it? Has it ever been fixed?
Not that I know of.
Never fixed. And I can tell you, this is not just Flint, Michigan. I was raised in a little town, only town founded in well, I'm not going to give a name, but founded in California by a black person. That town had a, first of all, we didn't have water. I have pictures of my mother out digging a trench for the pipes to be put down there. But for years, we lived out there without water. That water has arsenic in it to this day. And the thing is that that arsenic, It can cause cancer. It can cause all kinds of things. And sometimes I think about some of the things I used to suffer from out there. My grandmother had asthma like you would not believe. But one of the things is that it was agricultural. So they would have these crop dusters just coming over and just indiscriminately spraying people in the field. That's what my family did. In the summer they would go out and they would pick crops. My mom picked cotton. She picked whatever. She took us out to pick peas. Remember, she took us out because she wanted us to know what it was like to be in the field. And believe me, I hated it. So the thing is that is what we were subjected to. And so these are the things that reside in my body. So if this is passed down generationally, I have been impacted to this very day by the types of things that I've been exposed to, just as the people in Flint, Michigan have been exposed. So we don't have to go back. If you don't watch it, we can sit here and start thinking about, oh, we're so pathological. We just do this to each other. When all of these things are being done to us, yet we don't recognize them because we've been told to look at each other as opposed to looking at who our real enemy is, because we only have the ability to maybe impact one or two people. They are impacting an entire population of people and taking no responsibility. This is the thing. This is why information is so important. It's important to know what it is that's being done so that we can actually start placing responsibility where it lies and accountability where it lies. And so reparation is absolutely due because the things that are being done back then are still being done. And in terms of the 13th Amendment, slavery was never done away with except for incarceration. No, it didn't even give the level of incarceration that you had to not incarceration, but if you are deemed to have committed a crime. It didn't say what kind of crime. So loitering, vagrancy, all these kinds of things. All of a sudden, there you are, back in slavery. It has not been taken off the books. So slavery to this very day is in existence.
Absolutely.
We don't have to talk about what's happening back then. I'm going to stop. I'll start getting a little heated. But okay, I'm done.
That's all right.
Let it out. You're right. And you tell black people I ain't no slave. I got a house and a car. I ain't no slave. I can go work. Yeah, okay, well.
I wish y'all could have seen this. Yeah. I wish you could have seen this lady on YouTube. On YouTube. She's on YouTube. And she's her first time ever going to jail. Oh, man. You know what I'm saying? You know, I mean, this is a black woman. You understand? She was, you know, I'm sure that she was living up a life, man, of privilege, and she was first time for her ever going to jail. You understand? You should hear her story. You understand? You know, and I mean, it's a scary story because she was afraid for her life and all that kind of stuff, man. You know, but it was we've been programmed. You understand, to think that everything all right, all you got to do is get a job, you understand, work, and pull yourself up by your bootstraps. They did that in Tulsa, Oklahoma. In Tulsa, Oklahoma, they did that. They had a whole community, you understand, of I think they had two banks and everything. Man, they pulled themselves up by the bootstraps, and the European, the so-called people of the other nation came and destroyed it, killed 300 people, put 5,000 people out of living quarters. And that place ain't been back the same. You know what I'm saying? So, see, this is the thing with me is that the Almighty, you understand, knew what he was doing. He put us in a state of mind, a position, you understand, that we're going to have to come back to him because we ain't going to want to do this stuff with these other folks anymore. We ain't going to want to do this. You understand what I'm saying? So we're going to have to do what the Almighty said. And it's a simple thing. It's not nothing hard. You understand? It's not no science program or rocket science. You ain't got to be all of that, man. It's simple and plain. You understand? Treat your brother and your sister properly. You understand? Eat properly. You understand? And worship and give the Almighty all his glory. That's not hard. Our God is a true and living Elohim, and there's nothing and no one above him. He knows what he's talking about. It's so amazing how he put that book together, you understand, with all of those prophets in there and the book of Moshe, you understand what I'm saying? And this happened thousands of years ago. We going by the same book.
Yeah. Yep, and it ain't never changed, and it has never came back and didn't do what it said he was gonna do. Never.
Absolutely.
They tried to rewrite it. They tried to add stuff to it and take stuff from it, but the prophecy remains the same.
That is correct.
And guess what? On that note, our show is we've come to the end of our show. I think that we've done a beautiful job, as usual. You know, and we thank you all for being continued listeners and supporting what we do. Because we do this every week to give encouragement and let you know, hold on to the Most High. Because that's all we have. We don't have nothing else.
That is correct.
Nothing else. You know.
We ain't got nothing else. Hallelujah.
Nope. Be encouraged because we on our way home because that's what his words say. So we got. That's all we have. We don't have anything else. You know, so I'm going to go up the list and let you guys say something to the people before we go, and we're going to dismiss. Area code 919, what would you like to say to encourage Israel for the rest of the week?
I would just say we don't have anything to worry about. Rest in Yah's promises. His word does not come back void.
Hallelujah.
All right, hallelujah. Area code 720.
Our Elohim has returned to us, so call on him, repent and call on him. He's coming.
All right. Hallelujah. 972.
I say shalom and be very kind to yourself.
All right, Brother Donia.
Trust in the Almighty with all your heart and soul. Hallelujah.
All right, then. Hallelujah. And it brings you to the scripture that says, trust in them. In the Most High with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. We'll see you on Tuesday night for the men's class, for the women's class, and then we'll see you Tuesday. Say that again. We'll see you on Wednesday night at our regular class for our Old Testament reading, and that's at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the number is 319-527-9197. And the access code is 256-039-pound. Be encouraged, Israel. Let's hold on because Yah said he's coming and we believe it because his word does not return unto him void. Shalom, shalom, everyone. Have a wonderful rest of your week.